Welcome to Gatorators. I'm Joe Morgan, and with me, as always, is Will Smith and Griffin Tillis. So, guys, how was your weekend?
It was good. I was a little busy. I didn't really do much this weekend in terms of, you know, football or anything social. I was pretty busy this weekend doing some things. But, you know, I'm ready to talk about sports. I'm ready to get back into it. I'm ready for basketball season, and I'm ready for, you know, the very quickly approaching postseason.
All right, Will's doing things. And Griffin, how was your weekend?
Mine was the opposite of Will. Mine was just relaxing. Had a lot of football in it. Just a lot of football. Big old day of upsets on Saturday. I was a big fan of that. But, you know, just had a nice relaxing weekend. Didn't really do too much. Just had some fun.
All right, sure was a good weekend, folks as well.
Folks.
Yep. All right, so Florida defeated Vanderbilt Saturday, 55-14. Obviously, we're not looking ahead to South Carolina. Not until the second half, anyway. But it took a 41-0 lead to halftime and ended up just, you know, playing some of the reserves in that one. So, guys, what do you think of the win? Will?
You know, I think what you just said is exactly what I was thinking. You know, they didn't look ahead. They kept their eyes on Vanderbilt. You know, every week, like I've said before, you've got to pay attention to your weekly opponent. Otherwise, you know, you get caught off guard. They did find some they found some success with the three quarterback system. They played well, as I think they should have played all season. You know, that was the hype that, you know, the coaches and the media played up Florida to be. And, you know, right now they're only ranked 22nd when they started in the top 10. Another thing I saw, special teams was deadly, something Florida hasn't seen in a while. They had two or three blocked kicks. Two of them led to points for Florida, and ironically, the other one led for points for Vanderbilt. But, you know, they did a great job. This week they've got South Carolina, and I think they showed a lot of effort and maturity by not looking forward to South Carolina this week.
Yeah, Griffin, what did you think of the game?
You know, I thought it was good. It was just nice to see the Gator boys get some kind of momentum underneath them, you know, to get some of the reserve players in, and kind of, I think it must have been nice for most of our quarterbacks to be able to step back and be like, hey, I don't need to play right now because we're doing so well. You know, I think you always need a confidence booster. Not to say that Vandy was some kind of pushover opponent, but, you know, we focused on them. Just like Will said, we focused on them. We took them for what they were. We analyzed them, and we faced Vandy, not the team before we played South Carolina. You know, we faced Vandy, and we really focused on that. And so we came out, we met them head on, and for every strength that they had, for every weakness that they had, we met it with a strength, you know? So I think that's what really made the game what it was. And I got to definitely key on what Will said. Florida, especially Urban Meyer himself, used to be a team that when Urban Meyer, his first year, with such a special teams emphasis he had, I knew when the kickoff started, Gator game very first began, I knew there was going to be a block punt somewhere in that game. Almost every single game. Because Urban Meyer was such a special teams man. And that's kind of fallen off the map a little bit. We haven't had as many dynamic, you know, kickoff returns from, you know, any playmakers like Brandon James, you know, like how he used to be doing. We haven't had anything like that. I haven't seen many blocked punts. But so to see a few blocked punts was pretty nice to get back in the swing of how things used to be. And I think that's a great place for the special teams to be at right now.
Yeah, the special teams have definitely dropped off with DJ Durkin coaching them now. You know, Urban delegated a lot of his everyday duties to assistants after his leave of absence incident. So trying to take the workload off. But, it was a good win. Florida did a lot of new things. Urban Meyer in the press conference leading up to the game, said that Jordan Reed would throw. Now, Jordan Reed threw a lot. And it kind of stirred up some quarterback controversy among some of the Gator fans, I noticed, when I was tweeting the game Saturday. So we're going to use this as a segue into our 4th-and-1. You know, Florida's been using a three-quarterback system since the Georgia game. And, you know, it's worked very well. And it's had some obviously very different results offensively. So 4th-and-1, the Gators will use the three-quarterback system beyond this season. So, Will, I'm going to go ahead and start with you.
All right. I'm going to go for it for a few specific reasons. I don't think Steve Adazio is going to be fired or demoted next season. And as long as there are three legitimate quarterbacks in contention, I think that I'll go for it because of those reasons. As long as those three quarterbacks are there and, you know, none of them excel and become stellar, you know, basically just keep doing what they've been doing now, just be good. But yeah, as long as none of them become stellar, it's going to be a three-quarterback system with Urban Meyer in charge, mainly because that it's just a way to bring about dynamicity to the team. They've missed a lot of offensive opportunities, and they haven't had much spark on offense this season. So in a way, if you kind of want to look at it this way, it's kind of like the Wildcat that Florida uses, you know, and other teams use. But I'm not saying that it's like the Wildcat in the sense that it's run the same way. I'm saying it's like the Wildcat because it's used for the same purpose, you know, spice up the offense to make things, you know, a little bit different for the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, you kind of throw the opponent off guard. One thing I would like to say, however, is how long can you expect the quarterback system, the three quarterback system, to function properly? You know, sometimes you see a lot of problems with even a two-quarterback system. Really, what this also brings to the team is some instability that they really don't need. Right now, I think as long as Florida's having offensive troubles, it's totally fine to have a three-quarterback system. But once, you know, they get back into a groove, they find what they need to do, the three-quarterback system should be taken out because if it's left in too long, it becomes predictable. You see which player is really going to do which play, and it brings some cracks in leadership. I know I saw a few quotes today that John Brantley he felt very confident and he was happy that you know to his players he was still known as the quarterback of the team. You know he's still the leader of the team. But how long will that last if Jordan Reed continues to play well? How long will that last if Trey Burton continues to play well? You know, as long as all three of them are playing, there's going to be controversy.
Yeah, I'm going to – going off of what some of the stuff Will said, I'm going to punt on this one. You know, the quarterback carousel, as I've called it, is a gimmick. You know, it's no way you should really want to run a team. I mean, the gimmick is working right now, so it's going much better than what we were doing. So the fact that this gimmick is working for the offense, and I can see the coaching staff still going with that. However – it's becoming predictable. When you see Trey Burton line up in the shotgun, you know that it's most likely going to be a run 9 out of 10 times. Brantley lining up in the shotgun, it's going to be a throwing play. You know, Vanderbilt, early in the game, the Florida offense struggled to get moving. And, you know, that's because Vanderbilt could predict that. They would send the blitz when John Brantley was in because they knew that he would be dropping back. And, you know, as we've all seen, Brantley's not exactly the best quarterback at avoiding pressure and making quick decisions with a collapsing pocket. During the offseason, though, I really see Jordan Reed emerging at quarterback. I mean, he can throw and he can run. He's the kind of dual-threat quarterback this team needs. You know, I'm not going to compare anybody to Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is obviously a once-in-a-lifetime type player, but Jordan Reed does possess a very similar skill set to Tebow, and with the way the offense is run, he's probably the best option at quarterback, and I really believe that as he goes through spring practice and, you know, through the summer workouts, practicing with the quarterbacks, I really think he's going to emerge as the best candidate to be the starting quarterback for the 2011 season. So the quarterback carousel gimmick, you know, it's working right now, but it's definitely not a long-term plan. So I think that the best option will be to go with Reed, and I think he's going to step it up and be the starter next season. All right, so I'm going to throw it to you now, Griffin. Do you punt or are you going for it?
Well, I'm going to have to punt on this one because I really don't see Florida using this technique next year. Not out of not because of, like Will said, not because of specifically Jordan Reed, but I just see it's going to be somebody. It's not going to be someone in specific, not that I can tell yet, but someone's going to rise out of this chaos, you know? Because there's so much competition between the quarterbacks that somebody's going to want to be that starter. Somebody's going to want the playing time. And it's going to be all about who wants it more, you know, whether it's a friendly competition or whether it's an actually they're angry at each other competition. Whatever it may be, there will be competition, and someone's just going to want it more. So I don't know specifically who. I mean, there's positives and negatives about everybody. So there's all the quarterbacks. It could go either way. I'm not going to call anyone specific, but I'm going to punt it just because I know that there will be somebody that emerges.
All right. Now, one of the big topics around the SEC this week has been about Auburn quarterback Cam Newton, who's obviously having a spectacular season. He's one of the Heisman Trophy front runners. Auburn's undefeated. My predicted SEC champion, by the way. They're ranked number 2 in the country in the BCS, and there's been a lot of scandals surrounding Newton. So pretty much what's happened is there's been rumors circulating that Newton's dad and a certain other agent were demanding six-figure payments for Newton to sign with them because, you know, Newton played at Blinn Junior College last year and then transferred back to Division I after leaving Florida. And Mississippi State and Auburn were the two SEC schools going mainly after him. And what happened was, Mississippi State, according to the story that I've read anyway, refused to pay him that money. And apparently, if the story holds any water, Auburn did pay him that money. Well, that came out recently. And then there's also the report that came out from FoxSports.com that said that Cam Newton had been caught cheating on 3 different occasions and was facing expulsion from the University of Florida when he transferred. But then another report came out, hang in there with me, folks.
Oh, gosh.
Another report came out that said that of the 607 cheating incidents at UF, only 2 students were actually removed from school. So Newton would be a rare exception. And that was from Edward Ashoff of the Gainesville Sun. So good research by him. And then finally, there was this other report that says that the Fox Sports report was incorrect, coming from CBS. And so it's been a real roller coaster because, wait, there's one more report. Another one came in tonight that said that they had phone conversation evidence of Cam Newton and his father asking for this money to go play at Mississippi State. So, guys, with the quarterback struggles we've had this year, we've kind of looked longingly at Auburn and Cam Newton and how perfect he would be for our offense. So what are we thinking now, Will?
If these are true, it's better that we don't have Cam Newton. Right now, I'm not going to pass any judgment on whether or not they're true. Everyone makes mistakes, but right now we need to focus on the present. Let the NCAA deal with this. Right now, I think it's really just a distraction for SEC, Auburn, and especially Cam Newton. Right now, they can't really let it affect them. They have to keep just playing as they've been playing, keep calling calls like they've been calling calls. We see this every now and then. Allegations come out against some team, some person, some coach, even schools. And, no matter what happens, they've got to just kind of push through it until the NCAA reaches a decision, because until then, it doesn't matter, really. However, if they do turn out to be true, Auburn's going to be hit with some heavy penalties. They're probably not going to be bowl eligible this year or for upcoming years. They can basically kiss any bowl hopes or national championship hopes they have goodbye. They're pretty much going to feel what USC is going to go through.
Yeah, I see Griffin over here nodding a little bit, trying to get some silent trash talking.
All I'm saying is LSU won this weekend. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they lost to Auburn, who, innocent until proven guilty. I think that's a virtue often lost in this country.
Sorry, Joe.
Unfortunately.
Sorry, Joe. I chose a real team, not a cheating team.
Oh. Okay, well, what's your take on the Cam Newton
scandal? I'm just giving you some mileage on it, Joe. I think this is a really unfortunate situation because Cam Newton has proven himself to be a great athlete, and I'm sure that he's a pretty good guy, and that it's obvious that, you're not this good of an athlete just, wake up in the morning, I'm going to go play football, and you're that good. No, he's had to work at it. I'm sure Cam Newton has put in a lot of hours for football, so he showed work ethic. I'm sure he's a good guy. I'm sure he really loves his sport. I'm sure he's devoted to it. But, people make mistakes, and unfortunately, maybe this is just my view of it, but I personally think this happens a lot more in college football than we really know about.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I think it's a don't ask, don't tell kind of thing. Mississippi State knew that Cam Newton wanted this money, and they knew it was wrong, but they didn't say anything. Why? Because they've probably done it too. Florida's probably done it too. Mississippi State's probably – everybody's done it. We hate to admit it, but unfortunately, I really think it happens more than the people actually know. So for every one that gets out, there's got to be plenty more that don't. You know, you heard about who was it at USC that
Reggie Bush?
It was Reggie Bush. That's who it was. Name couldn't quite come to you right then. You know, he just got allegations of accepting the same kind of money. Didn't they like give him a car or something like that? And now he's, you know, Heisman talk is all gone, and you know he forfeited the awards. Or there's all kinds of nonsense, but just it's all out there. So I mean, I think it is true, as unfortunate as I think it is. I think this actually is what's going on, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and you know, on this cheating accusations, mm-hmm. many people have suspected that Urban Meyer reported this. Well, that's a pretty heavy accusation, considering that reporting a student's private academic records is actually a federal offense, I read today. So here's Urban Meyer's statement regarding the incident. He said, "Our entire focus right now is on preparing for our biggest game of the year against South Carolina. For anyone to think that I or anyone on our staff may have leaked information about private student records to the media doesn't know us very well. It's a ridiculous claim and simply not true." So, do you guys believe that Urban Meyer would have leaked this stuff?
Absolutely not. He knows way better than to, you know, break the law. He knows football. He knows his rules. And he knows what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I will admit Urban does have some stuff to learn about disciplining his players, you know. I mean, as much as Chris Rainey's helping us right now, he shouldn't be back on the team.
Yeah.
You know, and last year only suspending Brandon Spikes for half of a game for his attempted eye gouging. So, you know, definitely Urban has some, you know, flaws in terms of that. But I really don't think Urban Meyer would actually do that. That'd be the ultimate sign of being bitter, if you will, you know, for losing Newton to transfer a couple of years back. So I believe Urban didn't do it, at least. There's also reports that Dan Mullen may have possibly done it. I don't know. I don't want to make accusations. Just, folks, just read the stuff and decide for yourself. It's a very confusing situation, and I'm sure that the end of it will not come for at least a long while, because there will probably be tons of garbage and dirty laundry to go through. So,
oh yeah, it's all coming out now. All that dirty laundry is gonna be coming out. Yeah. I bet in the wake of something, someone's gonna say something that's gonna make somebody else angry, and then after that, the person that's angry is gonna be like, "Oh well, we know this about you." I bet there's gonna be even more stuff that we didn't even know about coming out because of this.
Yeah,
I have a feeling it's just gonna waterfall, and it's gonna be bad.
All right, guys. Well, let's move on to the big game this weekend. Florida plays South Carolina, with the SEC East Championship on the line in the swamp. In the words of Urban Meyer, it's championship week in Gainesville, Florida. And, guys, Urban's asked for a blue out at the swamp this weekend. So, you guys will be wearing your blue.
Is that even a question? Come on, man.
Yeah, Urban really wants the fans to go crazy, as if he has to. You know, Florida's renowned for having one of the best home environments in the country, so, you know, I mean, I don't think you would necessarily have to ask the Gator fans to get riled up, but, you know, maybe Urban just wants it on a more extreme level, so.
Maybe he wants to, like, specify how the riled up is, because we're all crazy. Maybe he wants to, like, pinpoint, be crazy like this.
Yes.
Maybe that's what he wants. That's what he wants.
Yeah, you know, maybe we should, you know, in honor of Blue Out Week, we should, you know, probably watch some Avatar. Get a little Smurfs marathon going.
That'd be a good idea. Maybe we should get some body paint, maybe. Just a thought.
Some Bluebell ice cream.
Yeah, you know. Bluebell.
Blueberry pancakes.
Look at Joe with the blue references.
How many more awful blue puns can we come up with before the show's over?
We should play the blues.
Hopefully it's not a blue blowout, maybe. No, that was lame.
That was not a good quit while you're ahead, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, so how do you think the game's going to go? Will?
All right. Well, recently South Carolina's been in a little bit of a slump. However, that does not mean Steve Spurrier should be undermined. He always has a few tricks up his sleeve. In fact, he's infamous for being sly and cunning. However, on the opposite side of the spectrum, the Gators have been playing with a newfound spark the past two games. But to me, that doesn't mean we should all jump on the bandwagon. If we look back against for the wins against Tennessee and Kentucky, Florida apparently had come alive on those two games, winning by, you know, decent to great margins. However, after those two games, they went on a three-game losing streak to Bama, LSU, and Mississippi State. So, you know, we got to keep this with a grain of salt. I think Florida, during the game, will start out slow like they have all year. Even against Vanderbilt, they only had 7 points in the first quarter, not including the 34 straight points in the second quarter. But I think they will start out slow again against a tougher opponent. And, you know, South Carolina will take advantage of that. And I also believe that Florida will make a late-round comeback. However, it will fall short, and South Carolina will win 28-24.
Oh, yeah, Will has a T-shirt wearing incident at stake here. His Gamecocks.
His Gamecocks.
It's not like that. I'm just not getting my hopes up.
Wow. So, not a good result for you either way. All right, this game, you know, South Carolina, I'm very reluctant to pick Florida in this game, mainly because I don't feel good about it. You know, South Carolina, they're a team that tanks. You know, they'll start off a season great, play great football, and then there comes that one point where they just start going downhill. Well, South Carolina played great football to start off the year, you know, hung with Auburn, you know, had a great record, beat Alabama, and since then they've really gone downhill. You know, less than spectacular performance against Vanderbilt, ugly loss to Arkansas at home, and, you know, a loss to Kentucky of all teams, and, you know, a shootout with Tennessee, who, you know, is obviously probably not the worst team in the SEC East. I'll go with Vandy on that one. But, you know, South Carolina's been going downhill, and Florida is starting to play some of their best football, granted, against Georgia and Vandy, who, you know, aren't exactly having the best seasons out there. But, you know, I think Florida is, you know, they're in position to win this game. I'm going to go Florida 24, South Carolina 14. I just think the Gators pulled this one out and didn't get their butts kicked in the SEC championship game by Auburn or LSU or whoever ends up going there. So,
if I may add something to what you said, Joe.
Go ahead.
You talked about how they start off their season really strong and they usually end poorly. I would like to attribute that to Stephen Garcia. The first five games, Stephen Garcia only had 3 interceptions. The past 4, he's had 6.
Wow.
His passer rating last game was 92.5. You know, he's someone that everyone built up at the beginning of the season, and, you know, I didn't, as I believed, he's kind of starting to slump again. He peaked around Auburn and Alabama, and his passer rating has literally been a decline since then. Against Auburn, it was 212, Alabama, 208, Kentucky, 170, Vanderbilt, 167, Tennessee, 150, and Arkansas, 92.
Nice.
All right, now to that, the Gators have one of the best secondaries in the country. Not sure the interception number. They were leading after the Georgia game. I think they're in the 16-17 range. Probably should have looked that up beforehand, but Griffin, prediction.
You call me mid-yawn, Joe.
Are we boring you?
No, I'm just sitting over here just zoning out for a minute. I'm sorry about that. I think Florida's going to pull it out. And I know I say this every single time we talk about it, but this is a game that Florida wants to win. We don't like Spurrier. I don't think anybody respects him anymore because he's playing somebody, you know, he's playing his alma mater, you know, all the stuff I've said before that all of our listeners have heard. I just think this is just the game we want to win. We're going to come out with, you know, with a fire, you know, fiery passion, and we're going to really try, really give it some effort. And, you know, I think it's going to be, I think we're going to, especially knowing that, we're going to have better practices this week. Everybody's going to put forth more effort because they know who they're facing. Now that Vanderbilt is done, it's time to focus on, you know, like we were saying, we didn't treat Vandy as the team we had to beat before South Carolina. Now that we've accurately faced Vandy, now we can really focus on South Carolina like it's time to do. And I think we're going to respect them for the team that they are. We're going to understand how they play. But I think we really have a good chance in this game. I think it's going to be 28-17.
Okay.
Florida.
One last thing I'd like to add about this topic is coaches this year are 3-7 against their alma maters.
Oh, good news for Florida.
Good news for Florida.
And also, that interception number was 17. They currently are tied with Boston College for the most interceptions in college football. So kudos to the defense right there.
Stephen Garcia better watch out.
Yep. So, gentlemen, that's our show. We invite you to subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you do subscribe on iTunes, take just a little bit of time and leave us a review. It'd be so awesome if you were to do that.
Yeah, we'd really appreciate it.
Really appreciate that. You have no idea. You know, we're all about those stars, so.
We'll even give you a shout-out if you leave your name.
Exactly. And also, go to Gatorade.com, R-A-I-D, for those of you listening, you probably already know, for the latest coverage. I was doing some Cam Newton coverage today. Not fun.
Yeah, I read that. It probably wasn't fun, but you put it together real well, Joe.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, guys, that's our show. Stay tuned for next week's episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for listening, and go Gators!